Recalls and redistricting, collective bargaining court challenges and John Doe investigations, medical marijuana and mining, and former Governor Tommy Thompson wants to be your senator. And that's just the first half of today's State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December the 5th. So many issues, so little time, but we'll try to fit you in too if you have a comment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let us welcome in our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, who will bring us up to date on the happenings at the state capitol in the last week and give us a preview of what's to come this week. Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Boy, lots going on. A lot of times around the holidays, it's a slow season in news. Not this year.
Not in news, no. I mean, the capitol might not be the most lively place right now, but there's plenty going on just with everything this year.
Well, last week started off with Democrats saying that they've collected 300,000 signatures in the first 12 days of the effort to recall Governor Scott Walker. So that's a pretty good start, I guess.
That is pretty fast. Mm-hmm. They have to collect 540,000 signatures. I think they're putting the goal a bit higher than that, knowing that, you're going to have some that are duplicates or some that don't qualify, and that there's probably going to be a court challenge with whatever you turn in. So they have a high number to hit, but the minimum number that they have to hit, they've already gotten halfway there in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They have 60 days to get all of it, and they've said that they're going to take all 60 days. Even if they hit their number early, they're going to take all those 60 days to get all the signatures they can and to make sure that they're in order.
So is this petition gathering going smoothly?
Well, I mean, there have been you've read incidents here and there where from both sides where they said that that it's gotten a bit violent. That said, I believe those are isolated incidents, but there have been quite a few of them.
Some reports of petitions,
throwing eggs at people that didn't sign. And these are all sort of he said, she said situations, although I do believe somebody was arrested for tearing up petitions.
But the state employee unions are saying the rules aren't letting them circulate these petitions on during the workday or something.
Well, and one of the things they were saying is that if state employees can't circulate at veterans' homes, for example, that there'd be some veterans there whose only contact may be with the state employee during work hours, and that they wouldn't have a chance to sign those recall papers. So that was one of the things that the state employee unions sent in a note to the Department of Administration. But the Department of Administration came out with some other rules last week. Also interesting, as it pertains to protesters at the state capitol where this all started this year.
Yeah, the new rules for protesting have a lot of protesters or activists up in arms.
They definitely have the regular protesters up in arms. And, you look at some of the rules. If you have a gathering of four or more people planned, you're supposed to, if it's going to be indoors, you're supposed to register for a permit 72 hours in advance. If you have a protest that requires extra police presence, these rules would let the state require your group to pay the cost for that police presence. This is something that some of the protesters are saying a pretty clear violation of their First Amendment rights. And there's a group at the Capitol. If you work there, you're very familiar with them. That they sing union anthems on a regular basis.
Is the Solidarity Singers.
The Solidarity Singers. They're at noon every day. And they definitely fit that billing when they're indoors of four or more people. They're just there on a regular basis, and they're directing their protests at Republicans, specifically at Governor Walker. And their leader, Chris Reeder, says that they've looked at the policy, and now they're looking at lawyers because they have no intent of stopping their protests or of applying for the permits.
We believe very strongly that what we do is protected speech. We believe we are protected by the United States Constitution and the Wisconsin Constitution. We will continue to come here and sing. We do not plan to get a permit. I know that we are certainly an inconvenience for them, and I'm sure they would like us to get permitted and or to stop, but that's not in our plans right now.
And these rules are being phased in. December 16th will be the official start.
I think the 17th is the first day that they're in full effect, that we're in sort of a transitional period, according to the DOA, up until the 16th. And then, you know, the 17th, we'll see what happens. I think it's partly up to the State Capitol Police to enforce these.
Other recall-related news. The Republicans are going to court to try to make sure the new redistricting maps are the maps used for the potential Senate recalls.
Yeah, remember we talked, a few weeks ago, there was a bill in the legislature that would have done the same thing. It would have said that any of these recall elections take place on the maps that were passed by the Republican-controlled legislature and signed this past summer, instead of the maps that we've been operating on since 2002. The maps that were drawn this summer, much more favorable to Republicans, and especially in one of these Senate seats that's up for grabs this time, Van Wongard's Senate seat down in the Racine area, it goes from basically a 50-50 Senate district to strongly Republican. All that is sort of a long way of saying that depending on which map is used, you could see a different party in power. I mean, if it's not to say that if we use the old maps, Republicans lose, but it's a competitive bunch of recall elections under these old maps, not so much if they get the new maps in effect. And so they filed suit petitions and suits in a few places. They asked the state Supreme Court to appoint a 3-judge panel to hear this case. If that wasn't the way to go about it, they asked the Supreme Court to take it on their own. And then they filed a suit in Waukesha County challenging these maps. Basically a form of venue shopping. But there are plenty of weird quirks to this case, though.
Yeah. And they also, though, withdrew the petition before the Supreme Court, did they not?
They did. And there was no reason given. There was just one sentence, basically, we withdraw our petition. This happened on the same day that the Journal Sentinel reported that Justice David Prosser was not participating in oral arguments or in court orders because a source that the Journal Sentinel quoted, who is close to Prosser, said it's because of a health issue that's not life-threatening. He was going to be off the court for a while, which leaves the court at a 3-3. Split on many cases, just the way that the court's justices break down. Related or not, yeah. It came out, and then you saw this. The Republicans say, "We no longer want to file in Supreme Court. We're going to take our shot first in Waukesha County and go from there." But the weird thing we haven't mentioned yet about these cases is that these maps were drawn and the law was written up. Says specifically that these maps take effect for elections in November of 2012. That law was written in part by the private law firm that's now representing Republicans challenging the map. So they're sort of challenging the language that they helped write. It's a definite oddity of the case.
Well, so we just have to, I guess, wait and see with Waukesha County. Will this, I guess, decide if they're going to appoint this 3-judge panel to look into this?
I'm not sure exactly what happens from here, because the legislature did change the rules a bit this year on how you bring redistricting lawsuits in state court. And so, whether filing in Waukesha County prompts the Supreme Court to appoint a special panel of judges or whether it just moves through the court system as usual, I don't pretend to know right now. Yeah.
And just remind us, Sean, and I don't mean to catch you off guard here, that there are 3 Republican state senators that the Citizens United and the Democrats are targeting, and Senator Fitzgerald is also the target of a recall effort.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party isn't you know, putting its force behind the Fitzgerald recall, presumably because by the numbers, that's going to be a pretty tough one for Democrats to win, although they may get the signatures just given the makeup of that district and the number of, you know, corrections employees who are in the Fitzgerald district and maybe highly motivated to go out and circulate. But yeah, there's four Democratic senators or four Republican senators at this point who have people going out circulating recall petitions against them. As of right now, no Democratic senators, and we thought that there might be, and I would think there still might yet be, depending on what happens in court cases, et cetera.
Yeah, but we have Pam Galloway in the Wausau area.
Terry Moulton up in Eau Claire, and Van Wongard in Racine on top of Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald.
Well, one more interesting note on the recall front. I noticed that State Senator Tim Cullen, a Democratic State Senator Tim Cullen of Janesville, is contemplating or saying anyway that maybe he would be a good challenger to Governor Scott Walker should there be a recall election.
Yeah, and I've seen this one place, the Journal Sentinel, and I don't know if it's just something that he brought up to them or what, but at least in that article, he was quoted as saying that he'd be interested. So add him to the long list of Democrats who said that, you know, maybe they'd be interested if they get the signatures in a race like this. I don't know if I don't know what kind of support he'd have in the party.
Well, many more issues that we need to cover in this edition of our State Capitol Report with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We'll talk about a lawsuit over the collective bargaining law and an update on the John Doe investigation that's going on at the state capitol, and also take a look at some of the legislation, including mining legislation, that is expected to be introduced in the state assembly this week. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you have a question or a comment, checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be a mostly cloudy day today with some scattered light snow. There could be several inches of snow near Lake Superior, with snow or even freezing drizzle this afternoon or through this afternoon in northeast and east central Wisconsin. Highs today in the 20s in the far north to the mid-30s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up in the second half of today's State Capitol Report, after the news, after 7:30, we are going to be welcoming in the so-called Deer Czar for the state of Wisconsin. It's actually the Deer Trustee will be joining us to talk about the deer hunt and the state's deer herd. James Kroll will be joining us after 7:30. Right now, we're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Sean is bringing us up to date on all the state politics, all the happenings at the state capitol last week, and we'll also preview some of the items that are on the agenda for the week to come. One thing that happened, Sean, dealing with state politics anyway, is that a former Wisconsin governor is now running for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and we've known that he was interested in it for quite a while, though. But, you know, he said this. He's been interested in races for years and never quite taken this plunge. And this year, former Governor Tommy Thompson is now officially running for U.S. Senate. And he jumped into the race last week in Waukesha. Said that, he bragged about his accomplishments when he was governor, but said he wants to go to the U.S. Capitol to look forward.
I am running to help America reclaim its future and its destiny for my children and grandchildren and your children and grandchildren.
And that audio courtesy of Chuck Kornbach. Thompson is in the race now. So is Mark Newman, former congressman who ran against Governor Scott Walker last year in a Republican primary. So is Assembly Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald. And, you know, there might be a couple of Republicans yet to jump in that primary. So it's not a situation where the Republican heavyweight Thompson comes in and clears the field. He doesn't have that, doesn't have that heft anymore with today's Republican Party. And State Senator Frank Lissay's campaign said that he's still contemplating a run on Eric Hovde. I'm going to get that name I'll know that name eventually, but Madison businessman may also be considering a run. And that's somebody who could self-finance. So that could be a pretty big primary, depending on what happens.
That's
and
been...
Tammy Baldwin is right as of right now the it seems like the Democratic Party's choice on that side.
Yeah, and someone who wants to run for Tammy Baldwin's seat, State Representative Mark Bocan of Madison, introduced a bill last week that would legalize medical marijuana.
Yeah, this is the same bill that's been around for a similar bill to one that's been around for about a decade in Wisconsin. It brings it gets brought up regularly. Really has no chance of passing this year, but Mark Bocan of Madison said that the more people hear about this bill, the less opposition you see.
The more we find medical professionals and patients and others coming out talking about this, we find there's so much more support in the state than opposition, and the elected officials are simply behind public support on this.
But again, I mean, this it just politically speaking, this is something the Democrats, when they were in charge last session, decided not to move on. So, given the current political makeup and the way things are going this year, you can imagine it's probably not happening.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Republican Assembly Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald is also a candidate for, for U.S. Senate, and he is going to be introducing mining legislation this week.
Assembly Republicans, he told the paper that on December 8th, I think, so coming up later this week, they'd hold a press conference that announces the legislation. That they'd hold a public hearing later in December, and it looked like this full assembly would vote on it in January. And this is a major rewrite of the state's mining laws with regards to iron mining, specifically designed to appease a company in northern Wisconsin who's interested in mining there.
And we don't know. Well, let's take a call on the mining legislation. Carl in Madison. Hi, Carl. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I think, just the way in which this mining bill is being introduced is just kind of appalling. Jeff Fitzgerald announced, along with the announcement that the bill would be introduced this week, he said that there's only public hearing on it. It's going to be in Milwaukee, over 300 miles away from the people who could be direly impacted by an iron mine. Because, in his words, what he told the Journal Sentinel, or the State Journal, is that Milwaukee is the home of heavy equipment manufacturers that would benefit if the mine became operational. So it's obvious they're putting corporations over people with this bill, and, I wouldn't doubt that the content of the bill will show that.
Thank you very much, Carl, because we're short on time. Is that right? There's just one hearing in Milwaukee?
That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it looks like from Speaker Fitzgerald's comments to the paper. That's on the Assembly side. On the Senate side, I mean, we haven't seen anything yet that says that they're going to move quickly. And remember, you have just a 17-16 edge over there for Republicans. You have the Special Committee on Mining that was set up, which includes, State Senator Dale Schultz, a Republican from Richland Center, who has broken with his party recently on high-profile issues. I think with everything, it could be a trickier deal in the Senate, and we don't know if they'll even reach one.
Yeah, and we don't, but we don't have the details on the mining legislation.
No, we don't. I mean, yeah. you have a draft that was leaked earlier this year that was never even formally introduced. This is something where, the business community has made it a top priority. Environmental groups are very worried about what might come out.
A couple other items from this past week, ongoing stories. The state unions have filed a lawsuit over the collective bargaining law.
They filed the formal paperwork for this a while ago. But last week they asked a judge in a motion to declare the union bargaining law unconstitutional. This was filed in Dane County Circuit Court. And the reasoning was that, it violated a few rights. Violated rights to association and rights of equal protection of state employees, just in the way that it treats state employees differently for wanting to associate with other state employees to talk about issues that pertain to them and wages. So, there are a lot of facets of this law that don't have to do necessarily with the pension and healthcare stuff that's gotten a lot of attention. You know, there's stuff in there about how you can collect union dues now. I mean, the state employees can no longer contribute to unions through their employer being, in this case, local governments or school districts. So this is one of a couple challenges out there against the collective bargaining law. There's still one in federal court challenging on equal protection lines and along, you know, the lines that it violates people's First Amendment rights.
Yeah, and then there was a headline that there's going to be another source offered immunity in this John Doe investigation. Sean, remind us what this John Doe investigation is about.
This John Doe investigation is basically a semi-secret court proceeding to determine whether or not there was wrongdoing in, you know, as far as we know, it started with the Milwaukee County Executive's Office when the governor was still in Milwaukee County. And it has, you know, we also know that there's been an FBI raid at, you know, mm-hmm. the governor's former deputy Department of Administration in state government, who also worked in Milwaukee County. You know, we don't know much more than that, other than there seems to be, it's being conducted in Milwaukee County. So there's a link to what happened.
And there have been some, Governor Walker's staff have been granted immunity already. And now another source might.
Right. The governor's spokesman's been granted immunity. And now, I mean, this kind of came out of the blue. We didn't see this coming. There was something from the appeals court saying to this other source, or this other person who wanted immunity, their immunity agreement to be kept secret, the Court of Appeals said, no, if you reach an immunity agreement, law is very clear. The public has a right to know that you've reached that immunity agreement in this John Doe proceeding. So, you know, we know nothing more about the investigation now than we did before, other than it's still ongoing and that it's an affirmation that this thing is still out there. You know, we don't know how big it is, but it's there.
All right, Sean, thanks very much. We'll look forward to your reports on the mining legislation and other issues at the state capitol this week.
All right, thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.